This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. I've got two chapters from the Star Seeds of Earth. As the adventure continues, we're into the thick of things now, chapters 67 and 68. Alibi Jones was busy messing up his personal life alongside his professional one when we last left him. We're going to find out what Alibi's half-brother Hap is up to. Spoiler, no good. As we get into this chapter, we'll find out what's happening with Hap. And Alibi has assembled a team of pilots and ships to help the Hornet's Nest move. He's still going to try that. So that's what's coming up on our installment, our episode. Two chapters from the Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Very cool thing to wake up to the other day. My thanks to Andy Weston, a great fantasy and science fiction writer in his own right. Check out his series, The Ninth. Andy just gave The Star Seeds of Earth a 5-star review. It's awesome. I'm actually really glad he enjoyed it, had fun, and wanted to share it. And Andy has written some awesome reviews of my work before. It makes it sound really good. It's like, wow, did I write that? What's he talking about? And I'm very lucky to count him as a friend and as a reader. So thank you again, Andy. Check out his books, The Ninth. He's also done stuff with the Heroes in Hell series. I think more Villains in Hell. And that reminds me, too, if you've read the book, please drop down a review. Andy's is only the second. I think John did the first one, but it's initials, so I can't be sure. But yeah, there's only 2 reviews out there of The Star Seeds of Earth at this point. And you know people look at reviews, so if you have a chance, wherever you read the book, you know, whether it's Audible if you listen, or Google Play for audiobooks, or if it's, you know, Amazon, if you're reading the book, please think about at least rating it, or dropping down a couple words in a review. That would be awesome. And again, thank you to Andy for writing an amazing review. Also this week, I investigated some more stone chambers. This is now the thing I've gotten into doing. Now, I want to thank my friend Keith Lincoln, who I used to work with at The Wizard ages and ages ago. And I want to thank his friend Jim Abbott, who I got to meet. And Jim showed us where Calendar One was. I've been wanting to see Calendar One ever since reading about it. Actually, I wanted to see it before I read about it. I had heard about it. I'd seen pictures. So, went to Calendar One and also the Eagle Chamber, both very near each other in the Calendar One Bowl in South Royalton. And if you've read Star Seeds of Earth, as they're going into the Stone Chamber in Vermont at the start of the book, Alibi and Edwards get all scratched up from blackberry bushes, and I gotta tell you, I got all scratched up from some raspberry and blackberry bushes as we were heading towards the chamber. But yeah, man, I did. I got scratched up, and I'm like, what, is this life imitating art? But I've made a new video for that, too. I love doing these videos to share that experience, the experiencing of the stone chambers. So that is now out there on my Facebook and YouTube. A little exploring for fun and education. A reminder, you can get this book, The Star Seeds of Earth as a paperback, ebook, or audiobook. It's up to you. Find out more at glowinthedarkradio.com. And again, if you've read the book, please think about dropping down a review. That'd be great. If you're a fan of the podcast and want to help keep it going, want to be a supporter, please head to Patreon and become a patron. That's patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. I have 3 different levels of support: $2 a month, $5 a month, and $10 a month. I want to thank everybody who is a patron. Right now, I've got patrons. Thank you for your support. And patrons have been getting the Archmage's History of the Future, which is the background history for this future we're in. Vatican Assassin, and now Alibi Jones. That's enough chit-chat before things. We'll get into our 2 chapters of The Star Seeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's called Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Chapter 67 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Onward, my Christian soldiers! Hap was training his elite troops, those who had passed the test of the new blood of Christ and had been found worthy of carrying on the fight for the Lord in this world. So many had been called back to the Lord in this last month. Hap had been surprised by how many God called home. Still, these men and women, these 5, had passed the test to stand by his side. They went for a stroll through town. That could have gone better. Hap decided it was God testing them, training them. God wanted the many souls they may have accidentally sent back to him. And the others agreed. He could feel them. They were now connected somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The others agreed. Martin was on his left, as was Tina. On his right strode Benjamin, Kai, and Janice. Warriors for the Lord. Where is she? Is she there? Hap's mind reached out to find his mother. Ah, good. She was still there, in the hospital, still alive.
It is good you check on your mother.
The thought came from Kai. The others agreed. She has always been favored by the Lord, Hap said, and he made the thought real and pushed it out to the others. And then they agreed. Always favored, they said together in chorus. Always favored, Hap said. Hap worried a little about Martin. Martin was strong and could easily see into the worst parts of people's minds. He could see what he called original sin in everyone, their sickness, depravity, and disease. And so he purified them and wiped their minds clean of sin, leaving them brain dead, catatonic, in the process. He had been purifying people throughout the town. Hap was very sure he couldn't allow Martin to see into his mind. A ship is coming, Benjamin said.
A ship? Hap said.
Yes, I sense them too, Tina said. They're coming to see you. Hap tried to scan for the ship with his mind. It was not one of his gifts to locate things, and he couldn't feel them. Do they mean us harm? Hap asked.
I don't think so, Tina said.
They want something,
Benjamin said. I don't think they are good people, but they do not mean to harm us. They want to use us.
God will not allow them to harm us, Martin said. I see this.
Thank you, Martin, Hap said. Shall we go meet them?
The man's name is Justin or Julius, Kai said. He comes from the Solar Alliance, and he comes to ask for our help to fight Alibi Jones.
Oh, really? Hap said. Then maybe they can be of use to us. Let's go talk to our visitor.
Yes, Nico.
Do you have them?
We do,
Spears said. Constantine glared at him over the comm. Spears could see a Shenta in the background. They were always around Constantine these days. Way too many of them. The Sekta already creeped him out. When the Shenta showed up, it was clear Constantine had been outmaneuvered. Classic bait and switch. This is who we are. Oh, wait, didn't we tell you? These are our bosses. Meet the new boss. Not the same as the old boss. All that made it easier for Spears to stay out in the field. He didn't mind hopping from planet to planet, if it preserved what little freedom he had left under the Greater Ta's yoke, even if it meant dealing with mental monsters like this bunch on board now. His freedom also gave him the chance to make new arrangements for acquiring his starseed without attracting undue attention, to activate his backup plan. Pricey arrangements, but they should pay dividends. Always have a backup plan. Constantine seemed to believe Happiness Michael Kim's offer to assist them was worth pursuing, and sent Spears off to Fortuna to get him and his people. It was a return trip for Spears, who had been to Fortuna a couple of years ago, trying to find a starseed. Old records and rumors showed one had been on the planet, but if it had been there, it was long lost and forgotten. Dead end.
Bring them to the rendezvous point, Constantine said. One of the Shenta commanders will meet you there and take them on. Is there shield holding?
Spears involuntarily touched the circlet of unknown metal he wore on his head like a thin crown. A gift from the Shenta. It was supposed to shield him from mental attacks and keep his thoughts from leaking out. The Shenta said it was old, well-tested tech from back in the days when they needed to protect themselves from the mental powers of the ancient enemy. Seems to be, he said, but Spears wondered how much it was telling the Shenta about him. Could he be certain it wasn't functioning on another level for the Shenta? While it protected him from people like those Christian soldiers sitting back in the passenger section. Spears didn't think he could trust the Shenta not to take the opportunity to spy on him. After all, it's what he would do. But if it kept Hap and his band of merry men from squeezing his brain like a grape between their mental fingers, all the better. He could live with the overlords peeking in if the shield kept his thoughts from leaking out and kept the mental monsters from liquefying his brain so it leaked out too.
Captain Spears.
One of them was on the comm from the passenger section.
Hold on a second, Nico. One of them is paging me.
Spears muted Prime Representative Constantine.
Yes, Spears answered the comm.
It's Hap, he said. May I come up and speak with you?
What?
There's been a problem, Hap said. Can I see you a moment?
Sure, Spears said. Give me a minute, okay?
Sure. What the hell did he want?
Spears turned the prime rep back on.
What was that about? Constantine asked.
I don't know yet, Spears said.
Keep them in order, Constantine barked back.
In order as ordered, my orderer, Spears said. He sighed.
Constantine out!
Chapter 68.
This is going to work, Alibi said. I'm glad you have such faith, Emily said.
It took a number of heartfelt comm calls, a couple of hard-headed business dealings, and some good people stepping up. But Alibi had managed to bring a team of sorts together. He looked out across the faces in the conference room, waiting for him to begin the briefing. Hector, Bob, Grizz, Kit, and Katie knew why they were there. The rest of them were about to learn. "Thank you all for coming," Alibi said, "and for agreeing to help me, without knowing what I was asking for, what I needed you to do. That's big. Thank you for trusting me on this."
"Your aunt said you wouldn't have asked if it wasn't important," Billy Gentry said. "Seemed about right. So, we're here. Though I am surprised at some of our company."
Alibi nodded at him. Laurel Eden started laughing.
"You mean me, William?" Laurel said. "Why not? Next cargo run is in 5 days. Alibi said he needed me and my ship for something for a day or two. I got the time. Figured it's at least got to be interesting."
"You won't have to deal with each other after this briefing. So if you can keep the peace for a few minutes, I'd really appreciate it," Alibi said.
"Fine," Laurel said.
"Go on,"
Gentry replied. "For those of you who don't know our head of security, this is Grizzly Yakamoto," Alibi said. "Grizz is a pilot too, it turns out."
"Hey," Grizz said.
"And this is volunteer Hong Chenson," Alibi said. "I asked Grizz for a short list of folks who might join us and not leak out word of what we're going to be doing. Hong was at the very top. Thank you for agreeing to join us."
"You're welcome," Hong said. "This is quite the team you've assembled. I'm honored and humbled to be a part of it."
"No, thank you, Hong," Alibi said. "Again." Alibi turned to the other new volunteer. "Also recommended? Darlika Jenar," Alibi said. "Katie tells me we can trust you. And she says you're a pretty talented pilot, Darlika."
"Please, I go by DJ," she said. "Happy to be here. Thanks, you know, for having me. This is quite a crew. I'm not used to breathing such rarefied air."
Katie Ramsey, Kit Trefundler Grundler Alcaza, Hector Ruiz, Bob Bond, Laurel Eden, Billy Gentry, Alibi said, quickly going around the rest of the table. "And you all know Emily Brown." Emily nodded at a few people as they replied yes.
"Emily is a genius who's helping us pull off this project," Alibi said, smiling at her.
"Krish, Dr. Krishnaverti, is a certified genius, too. He's here helping us as well. Thank you, Krish."
"You are welcome, Alibi."
"So," Alibi said, "as for this project, some of you are wondering what this is." Alibi Jones looked around the room. He wondered how they'd take this information. "We are about to move the Hornet's Nest," he said, "and you're all going to help us." The gasp came from DJ, clearly shocked. Hong looked surprised, so did Laurel. Gentry grinned and nodded at him. The others all knew this was coming. "You and your ships will surround the Hornet's Nest and deflect any rocks, any asteroids, or other debris that flies our way as we try to move this station."
"You're calling this a station now, are you?"
Gentry said. "Well, it's not really a base anymore," Alibi said. "Not with the new engines and all."
"You do know you're in the middle of an asteroid field, right?" DJ said. "It's damn tricky just trying to fly in here."
"We've plotted the orbits and trajectories of all the rocks in this area," Emily said. "Found a sort of path of least resistance for us to follow out of here."
"But it's still not a clear path," Alibi said. "So we'll be out there in our ships, surrounding the station, blasting the rocks that are coming too close to deflect them out of our way."
"I'll load our projections into your ship's navigation systems," Emily said. "You'll know when the problem rocks are coming and where to hit them to knock them out of your way and ours."
"You'll still have to be vigilant out there," Alibi said. "There could be debris and other rocks we haven't accounted for. Nothing is perfect, and we won't pretend we are."
"I would have liked to have had 12 ships to do this job," Emily said, "but we can make do with 10.
"I'll be out in front with the 80 Foster," Alibi said. Thank you for letting me fly the Foster again, Kit.
You are welcome, Kit said. I have brought out my old one-seater Dakur light fighter for the purposes of this project.
Excellent, Alibi said. You and DJ will be on the starboard side of the nest. Hog, you'll be with Hector on the port side. Grizz, you and Gentry will be topside. Katie, we'll have you stern side. You're probably our best shot, which we need with just one ship back there. That's true for you too, Bob. You'll be bottom side with just the Libra Campista 2. And Laurel, you'll be up front with me. Bob and Katie, you're each on your own, but the projections don't show as much activity in your sectors, Emily said. And you're gonna move the place, Gentry asked. Just like that. Just like that, Alibi said.
What are you going to tell the people inside? Laurel asked.
We'll have an emergency lockdown drill, Alibi said. Close the main bay door, then go.
So, no ships in or out? She asked.
Not while we're moving. She nodded.
Where are we going?
Hong asked. That's a great question, Alibi said.
You always know someone is about to bullshit when they say, that's a great question,
Laurel said. Thanks for that vote of confidence, Laurel, Alibi said. I won't BS you. We don't have a final destination chosen yet. And while the main conventional engines are complete and fully functional, the transspace drives are not yet operational. So, for now, we're going to move in-system, but out of the asteroid belt. There is a relatively debris-free orbit a little closer in to the star. We're going there. He looked at Laurel. She glared back for a second, then looked away.
Why the attitude?
We are trying to keep this quiet, which is why we're only briefing you the day before we're going to do this, Alibi said. I can assure you, some of us have been working on this for a lot longer.
Naturally, Gentry said. You built fucking engines.
We built fucking engines, Alibi said. Well, Emily and Krish did. I just asked for them.
I do not believe you asked for us to build fucking engines, though, Alibi, Krish said. To clarify.
Alibi smiled.
We've put the plan together in a briefing file that will be loaded into your ship's computers, along with the plotting and planning projections for your navigation, Emily said.
Take a look at the plan tonight, Alibi said. Sleep on it, and let me know if you have any questions in the morning. Then, head for your ships and get ready for high noon, nest time. That's when we'll go.
Noon? Hong said. Gotcha.
Thank you, everybody, Alibi said. Talk to you tomorrow. Gentry lingered after the meeting. He pulled Alibi aside when it was the two of them and Emily left.
You sure you can trust Laurel Eden? Gentry said.
No, Alibi said. I'm not sure I can trust you either.
Maybe you can, maybe you can't, Gentry said. But you can trust that when I said I was going to do this, your aunt said, I better make sure nothing happens to you. So even if you don't trust me, you can trust in that.
Alibi frowned as he considered it. I don't trust her much right now, he said. But I know she doesn't want to see me get hurt.
You see?
Maybe, Alibi said. You don't think we can trust Laurel Eden? Is that why you broke things off with her? You can't trust her?
She broke things off with me, Gentry said. But that's neither here nor there.
Really? Alibi said. She told me you dumped her. It was a litany of things. She lost her crew, you dumped her, things on Depot got bad. And you're now charging her extra fees, she said, on Depot. You've really got it in for her.
Extra fees for what? Gentry said.
Landing bays? Stuff like that? Alibi said.
She said that, Gentry said. Well, pretty clear who's really talking the bullshit around here. Maybe playing for your sympathy, I don't know.
So you're not charging her more?
I'm not, he said. Maybe it's a shakedown Sharkovsky is running, but that doesn't sound like him. He's a bastard, but he's clean.
Man, Alibi shook his head.
Hard to tell who to believe.
Look, Alibi,
All I'm telling you is watch out, Gentry said. Fine if you don't want to trust me, I get that. But don't trust her either. Watch your back. I will, he said. She said she lost her crew? Gentry said, as the thought arose again. She did, Alibi said. They went home to Dakor when the Greater Ta took over, to help their families. Gentry laughed at him. How many Dakor outside of the control of the Greater Ta have you known to go back under their thumbs? Gentry said. Well, I mean, if any of the Ta had thumbs, tentacles, you know what I mean. They all tried to stay free. So her crew didn't leave. I think her first did, actually, Gentry said. I heard about that because it was so rare that it happened. So one of her crew did go back there, Alibi said, and an important crew member, too. True, Gentry said. The good lies are always couched in a little of the truth. Gentry actually smiled at Alibi. Truth is, I'm glad you asked me to do this, Gentry said.
You are?
Gives me a chance to show you that maybe we can work together after all, Gentry said.
We'll see, Alibi said.
Gentry started to go and then stopped. Have a good night, Alibi, he said. It looked like he was going to say something else, but thought better of it. He let a quick grin cross his face, then turned and walked out of the briefing room.
That was Chapter 68 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Well, maybe Alibi Jones and William Gentry can get along. After all, maybe they can play nice.
As our next chapter begins, Emily, Katie, and DJ will be comparing notes about Alibi, of course, but about many things. It's not just about him. We even learn a little bit more about Katie and her Rodei partners. That'll be three new chapters next week on Glow in the Dark Radio from the Starseeds of Earth. Again, a big thank you to my friend and fellow writer, Andy Weston, for giving The Starseeds of Earth a great 5-star review on Amazon. And I encourage you, if you've read the book, to please do the same, or, you know, whatever kind of review you want to give, but please do give a book review. Let the word get out.
Let the word go forth.
And check out the new video I've put together of my latest Stone Chamber explorations. Went to Calendar One and Eagle Chamber in South Royalton on Thursday. Put the video together, and that's up on YouTube and on Facebook. And you'll find it on my site, glowinthedarkradio.com. Would love to have your help if you can become a patron. I do that through Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio for $2, $5, or $10 a month, you can help support the podcast. It's a little bit like public radio, except, you know, it's me. It's Glow in the Dark Radio. Anything you need, books, you want to check out videos, you want to preview some stuff, get some free things, just head to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma.com. And that's me. I'm Mike Luoma. And that's it for this time. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma.
and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.